Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this committee of the Select Committee on Economic and Business Development. Welcome to the members who are here. We have some members that would still join us, particularly the Honorable Mutebe, who was traveling this morning. Welcome to the board members of the CEF, and also the officials. Honorable members, we have an apology from Minister Khadebe, who is traveling overseas, as well as an apology from the Deputy Minister and the CEO of the CEF. However, the chairperson of the board of the CEF is here with us. And you know, if we deal with issues of governance, it's always very appropriate that we have the board members here with us, because that's, in terms of corporate governance, more their area of responsibility. The chairperson of the committee, the Honorable Khai, has also indicated to us, I don't have a written apology from. Oh, the secretary has a written apology. But you all know that he wasn't well, and he just aggravated his illness. He communicated with me formally to say that he fell ill in Geneva, and the doctors insisted that he should not travel. But he felt that he needed to come back home, and he is getting treatment here in South Africa, as we speak. We have three items on the agenda, honourable members. The first item is the briefing by the Central Energy Fund on their turnaround plans aimed to clear governance issues that are affecting the performance of PetroSA and the Strategic Fuel Fund. They have made available to us slides that they will use in the presentation, and I'm sure we have all noticed that the slides are very brief. If I count them properly, it's 6, 7, 8 pages. But that gives us sufficient time as members to interrogate the governance Central Energy Fund in the engagement that we will have with the CEF after the presentation. It is also important that I mention the second item for the agenda, which is the minutes of the last committee meeting. And then finally, the third item I have liaised with Christine Zulu to make the announcements, which is primarily to just tell us what the process would be for our sittings next week. But we will engage with that at the appropriate time. Can I then ask the officials and board members from CEF to please lead us through the presentation? I would kindly request that you just... Oh, sorry, I've forgotten something. I forget that. But let me speak to you. Please introduce yourself and also your status, just so that we can have that on record. I need to introduce first the members of the Select Committee to you. My name is Eddie Mafue, and I represent the province of Gauteng.
Good morning, my name is Willem Farbe, and I represent the Northern Cape province in this committee.
Good morning, my name is Vusi Magwebuha, I represent Eastern Cape.
Good morning, my name is Masipa Godihale, I am representing the peaceful province of Limpopo.
We also have the president sitting down now with the Honorable Mthethwa, and he is representing the province of KwaZulu-Natal. We also have with us our support staff for the select committee, our content advisors, researchers, as well as the committee assistant. We have the parliamentary monitoring group that is always with us. We also have journalists in the committee. We are committed to an open parliament, and when we can, we do allow meetings. So welcome to the journalists who are as well. Can we ask the officials and the officials themselves and the
good morning, honorable gentlemen, and honorable members, members of the media, and colleagues. My name is Isabelle Bambo. I'm the acting director general for the Department of Energy. I'd like to also tell my apology for the director general of the department, Mr. Thabang Zulu.
Thank you, sir. My name is Lobo Makasi. I'm the chairperson of the Central Energy Fund.
Morning, chairperson and the committee members. My name is Ufuno. I work for 3 years as a CFO.
Sorry, the both of you have swallowed the last part. I heard you, so I repeat what you said. You said you're the chairperson of the CEF. Okay. Your last part, please.
Okay. Maybe let me move in. My name is Ulfuno, and my surname is Mabua. I work for CEF as the chief financial officer.
Good morning, chairperson and members. My name is Abdul Habaji. I'm the group company secretary of CEF.
Good morning. My name is Tituzo Kleinboy. I'm director responsible for SOE Oversight, the Department of Energy.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Bogani Kulu. I'm the group stakeholder advisory manager at SEF.
Good morning, chairperson and honorable members. My name is Abednego Mungwane. I'm the chief director and office of the director general at the Department of Energy.
Thank you very much. So those that have introduced themselves are the ones that have also participated in the deliberations. Those voices that you have not heard are the ones that, in terms of the rules of Parliament and the Select Committee, not allowed to speak. But we do have here with us also Madame Grace. Now I'm forgotten your other name. Dini Zulu. I know the surname, but... Nozipiu Dini Zulu, and she's our committee secretary. Yeah, I think we've covered all of us. Please read your answer.
Thank you, Chairperson. We have structured the presentation. It will be led by the Chairperson of FED, Mr. Lovo Makasi. He will then be inviting the CFO to also make contributions during the presentation on some certain key aspects. We will then take the questions from the committee after the chairperson has concluded the presentation. Thank you very much. I'll then hand over to the chairperson.
Thank you, Chair and committee members. Chair, despite my age, I'm a bit technologically challenged, so if I skip one or two slides, it's purely because of my incapacity, so I must just report that upfront. Chair, thank you very much for the opportunity. I think, Chair, a bit of context around the Central Energy Fund and the road to where we are and the road to where we are going. And we are grateful of the opportunity given to us by the committee to come and present on what others may term topical issues. Chair, in the past, SEF has been a creature of statute. It was primarily established to look at the energy security of the country. Others may go to an extent, Chair, of saying that it was more of rather than an energy security measure. So it has been largely treated as its primary mandate being energy security for the country. However, what has happened in the recent past is that the market has evolved, and in the evolution of the market, we have been faced with an issue of being a creature of statute with a defined mandate, but the mandate to an extent was not speaking to the developing trend in the market, to an extent that we had found ourselves lagging behind what has been the developments in the oil and in the gas sector. And having said that, Chair, that speaks to the point that says that SEF is at a challenging point. It's a challenging point that needs us to give direction, and I think we are on that path. That, Chair, also speaks on what has been the primary focus and what has been our biggest challenge as the SEF board in the last financial year. Naturally, it has been the sustainability of PetroSA, largely because it is one of, actually it is our largest subsidiary. During the good days, it used to contribute up to 70% of the dividends or the cash flow for the group, if I may use the term loosely. But what has happened in the last 5-6 years, it has experienced challenges. Some of the challenges related to what they call the depletion of the gas reserves, others related to how we then tried to adjust the cash position of PetroSA in managing the realities that we faced with, in that we were now no longer having natural gas to feed into the plant. And that, Chair, created a problem in the sense that when PetroSA was formed in the merger of Suco and Mosgas, there was no cost for gas. So there was no cost for what is called feedstock. It was a natural endowment. But due to the depletion, we had to now convert and begin to have a cost center for gas. Now that immediately impacts not only on your operation, but equal on your balance sheet, because now you must have a new cost that you factor in. So, to pass the first slide, Chair, the short-term focus is on PetroSA turnaround. The long-term focus is around economic transformation. It's around repositioning SEF to have a significant impact on the South African economy, and most importantly, to have a social impact as well. Chair, the second slide probably paints a picture of how I started my introduction, and actually I've downplayed the number. I said it was 70%, it's actually 90%. Chair, if you look at the market share
our refining market share, we only are 6%, which therefore means that 94% of the refining capacity is not in state hands, nor does the state have a large play on that. At the moment, it's only PetroSA and we are 6% market share. The impact on the decline of revenues in PetroSA naturally would then have an impact on the cash position, on the liquidity of the SERF group. But I must say, Chair, we have been able to sail the boat to an extent that I still think that our debt-equity ratio is still fairly balanced. The second slide, Chair, presents the two main problems facing PetroSA, and I would explain them, Chair, in the following context. And so because PetroSA is a gas-to-liquid refinery, when it was established, we had enough natural gas. That gas was at no cost to us. But what then happened? Naturally, the gas reserves depleted because it's like an asset that is being mined. What then happened during Ikwezi, it was 2014, around 2014, we went and attempted to explore to see if we can't find any gas around the shore. It was a project, it was a monumental failure. It's publicly known. We lost about 14 billion rand in that exploration. And the effort was to try and keep the refinery going. We are in a position where between 2022, we might not have any gas available. Being mindful of that reality, Chair, we have looked at a number of options to mitigate the possibility of the shutdown, primarily because PetroSA remains an economic catalyst in the Southern Cape, and probably to the country as well. And there are a number of modalities that we are looking at. I'm just a bit reluctant, Chair, to share the actual detail of the strategy of what we are doing, as it might be commercially sensitive, but I will get guidance from the technical people. But we are pretty much confident, Chair, that we will be able, from an operations perspective, to be able to at least pull out PetroSA out of ICU. And that would require some decisive steps from the PetroSA board, and would require some interventions from SERF and from our ultimate shareholder. Because one of the things that we need to continue doing, and if you look at our quarterly report, there's been some improvements, is to look at our cash position, make sure that we don't break the benchmark, but most importantly, ensure that we keep the refinery going. And all of those steps, although it is baby steps, but they are beginning to show some good results. The last issue, Chair, which has been a threat to the sustainability of PetroSA is that when we explored in 2014 during Project Ikwezi, we triggered environmental liabilities, what is known as decommissioning liability. At the moment, that liability is estimated to be at about 9.6 billion. The other challenge that PetroSA faced, Chair, was that in the MPRDA, the oil and gas and the mining sector were clubbed together. Now, although the problem for decommissioning at the moment was uniquely for Petro SA, we had to battle a bit to get an exemption. But the Department of Environmental Affairs has now given us a deferment on that liability for five years, which then creates a huge relief in the going concern status of Petro SA. And that, together with the efforts that the executives and the board of Petro SA and SAF have been putting, has created some lifeline in the sense that I don't think we are still much concerned about the going concern status. But what we now need to work on is a comprehensive decommissioning liability plan. Because after 5 years, we must still go and find the 9.6 billion, depending on what effort we will put between now and the next 5 years. So we are not out of the wood, but at least we've got breathing space to work towards coming out of the wood, Chair. Having said all of that, Chair, all of that, we need to move to a position where the cash reserves of Petro SA are protected. The principle that we have established at SAF and for all our subsidiaries is that we don't intend to borrow to sustain our business. We can only borrow if we want to grow. That is why our five elements are sustainability, preservation of cash. Because if we borrow to sustain, it means we will have a continuous hole that we will never fill. And that is what we have avoided in the past year, and that's what we want to continue avoiding. And that, Chair, creates an environment where if we continue in that trajectory, we're becoming less of a liability to the fiscal. And that is what we want to keep on sustaining, and that is the trajectory we want to continue on. Of course, with an entity like where Petro SA is at, whatever turnaround strategy you have, as a shareholder, you must put in some cash to assist the business. Probably we'll do that, but we will do that in the most diligent way to ensure that the fiscal is not exposed beyond reason. So that is, Chair, the two key issues that are a red herring, if I may call that, on the sustainability of Petro SA. The next slide, Chair, would speak of what are we doing to then address some of these issues. Now, Chair, this is the point maybe I can make. And say, for example, if you look at, we are not an oil-producing country. The debate that we are having and pending shareholder approval, amongst others, is do we really need to be having, to be storing strategic stocks? Is that what we need to do? Do we need that or do we need refined products? That is the work that we are now engaging on because we need to look at what is happening in other oil-producing countries. Because what has become a trend in other countries is that they take positions, so they take interest in oil-producing blocks, not them keeping the actual physical stock. But all of those issues, Chair, is what we'll be engaging on with our ultimate shareholder, pending his approval, policy pronouncements will be made. But what have we done, Chair? We've done the market trends assessment, and that exercise has been completed. We've done benchmarks on best practices to understand what are other oil, state-owned oil companies doing. But the unique or the difficult position that we have some stage, Chair, you even ask yourself, did nature hate us so much that there are not even puddles of oil lying around any of our shores? Because when we do these benchmarks, you benchmark against oil-producing countries. And we are neither. We don't produce oil. So we need to adapt our model to suit those needs. But what we've developed and what we've now seen, and we are grateful to the policy direction of our shareholder, is that the policy certainty is beginning to help us in drafting our own plans. Because without policy certainty, it also becomes difficult for us to say which direction do we take as a state-owned entity. But with our minister now, we're able to understand, we're able to position on what are the key opportunities that the SEF group would focus on. The other problem, Chair, that we're faced with, and probably speaks to part of the issues that you made, Chair, in your introductory remarks, was that SEF used to have this broad mandate. In its broad nature, you then have all your subsidiaries with separate boards. And those separate boards are creatures of their own MOIs and all those governance models. That has always been one of the issues that has led to not have synergy in the SEF group, to an extent that you would be stuck with issues where you've got competing money between the same in entities in the same group. And part of the issues that we've been faced with, and we've made submissions to our shareholders, is that you need to begin to look at your operating model. If your largest subsidiary is under financial constraints, what do you then do? You can't then continue operating as if you're in good times. It therefore means, now I must find the right word to use. You may have to either restructure or to relook at the operating model, because you'll have to now rely on efficiencies to sustain your business. And that change is primarily driven by the fact that we don't want to go to the fiscus to borrow to sustain. We want to go to the fiscus to borrow only to grow our business. That is the part that now is speaking to the operating model. And Chair, most of the disastrous decisions or that has happened in the past, they have happened around the cumbersome operating model of the SEF group. Because of the number of boards you are having, things slip in between. And you will then find in the past that other institutions will pass SEF as the holding company and write directly to the minister would respond. And those things create governance problems. And those governance problems, unfortunately, Chair, create compliance issues. Because, for example, in terms of the Companies Act, if you are going to, even the Section 54 of the PFMA, if you are going to dispose of a significant asset, your shareholder must know. So it means SEF must know before the minister knows, and then Treasury. But because of how the operating model was structured, you would find those gaps being used for other purposes, or for purposes not meant for good governance. And those are the things that even our ministers identified, and that is why we are now looking at a new operating model for the SEF group. And once Chair, that has been approved by our shareholder, I'm sure we would come back to the committee and be able to share more detail on how we propose the SEF group should operate going forward. And Chair, part of that becomes a necessity, because once you get into your largest subsidiary being in the red. It therefore means you must restructure somewhere. It therefore means you must begin to say, what do I need to move to keep jobs? What do I need to move to sustain the business? So it will be inevitable that we don't, it will be unavoidable not to restructure or to relook at our operating model. Chair, the next slide is rather a similar one, and it just explains the amount of time that we have spent in trying to review the operating model and the strategy review for SEF. And we've gone to an extent of getting external expert opinions on the PetroSA plan. Started with National Treasury and Experts as well to make sure that we properly test our plan. Chair, our ambition remains that we have
highlighted. Can you give up the question before you get there? Because it is important. Your slide, the last but previous one, where you have to do the group strategy review. You have the 3 weeks, 8 weeks, and 5 weeks. And you didn't speak to the question I think that members would need to have clarified is what time frames are you giving to yourselves to introduce the review process of the operating model in particular? Just give us the time frame.
Thank you, Chair. From the SEF side, Chair, we've completed the process. It's sitting with our shareholder. So unfortunately, we can't present up until our shareholders had an input because there might be amendments or additions. So. Spoken on the next slide and around our ambitions and priorities. Suffice to say, Chair, we are going to, we are really excited about the policy certainty. We are heading for interesting times around the LNG, around the gas opportunities that the Minister has pronounced on. We are partly excited about the possibility of a new refinery with all the debates that it will bring. But all of those things, Chair, are enabling us to be able to reposition the subgroup properly. Chair, the next slide would basically outline what our short-term to mid-term and to long-term strategy would be. Chair, in the short-term, if you ask us what is keeping us awake, it would be the turnaround of PetroSA. The 2023, we are looking at moving more to cleaner fuels. In the mid-term, Chair, we really need to diversify our energy portfolio, looking at your upstream exploration, natural gas, and renewable energy, Chair. In the long-term, Chair, when we look at market trends, we're beginning to see electric vehicles, as they are called, hybrid, becoming a player into the market, and would not want to wake up to that opportunity 15 years later. We would want to begin now to look at that, Chair. Chair, I think in the next slide, Chair, to basically concretize and give concrete plans of what we are focusing on. Chair, I can't overemphasize the turnaround of PetroSA, the acceleration of transition from oil to electric vehicles is an area that we are looking at. Chair, we're really looking at building a retail position, what others would call your downstream acquisition, in order to support the electric vehicle play when it comes. We are looking, Chair, at catalyzing the local exploration and to facilitate the transition to natural gas. And Chair, one of the areas that we have not played in the past is to assist in transformation. And we are really, Chair, looking at becoming a catalyst to assist entrance, especially to the new area of gas. Chair, with our shareholder, we are positioning ourselves to lead in the transition to clean fuels. And lastly, Chair, something I've touched on, the managing of the strategic stock. What is it as the country that we need to do? And it's a debate that our shareholder would lead, because it becomes necessary. What is it that we do? Do we really need to keep crude? Do we need to keep refined product? We have made our submissions to our shareholder, but that is a policy decision that our shareholder will give us direction on. Chair, what we can't ignore is the role of renewables in the economy, and if we will adopt a least cost IRP, it therefore means the Central Energy Fund would have to have a play in the renewable energy space. We had some small investments in the past, but we are looking at increasing our participation in renewables. But our view, Chair, is that we can only participate if it is a project of a meaningful size. Chair, Chair, we really need the support, Chair, of your committee to make this impact, because some of the changes that we want to make, Chair, do require regulatory and policy interventions, and we are committing, Chair, that we will provide regular feedback as and when required, and it's a journey, Chair, that is not the most comfortable, but we are prepared to take it. We are trying to do it, Chair, in the least painful way, without any meaningful impact to the poorest of the poor. But we are confident, Chair, that at the least we'll be able to take PetroSA out of ICU. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. You did say in your introductory remarks that the CFO will be Eddie. Am I correct?
Yes, Chair, we will give him a right of first refusal.
Ms. Hoppe, it looks like you don't have anything to add. Oh, sorry. I had the two of you.
No, I have got nothing to add. We'll just assist the chairperson when responding to questions.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, let me deal with the elephant. There's many of them in the room. I think the one for me is that we have had the presentation. We receive a presentation after we've called the CFER, and in their presentation they are saying to us that a review has been done, but it is with our stakeholder, with our shareholder, sorry. It is with our shareholder, which we can quite appreciate, which is the Department of Energy. So we do not have insight into that. I think as a committee, we would be in agreement that we need to call the Department of Energy as soon as possible, if we could, in August, September, to come and present that to us, because then we can engage intelligently with it. But also, in the concluding side, the chairperson of the CEF is saying to us
that they need our support. Now, we can't support something unless we have all the information before us. We are, as a parliament, equally concerned about energy as a driver of our economy, but also want to ensure that it is a sustainable resource, and also deal with some of the alarms that we see coming from within society. We would hear civil society groups expressing concern about, for example, the exploration of shale gas. But we are also engaged in the SADC community, where we are looking at trade within the SADC area and the opportunity of oil being supplied to us from Mozambique. And I have, in a previous conversation, raised that in a question to Minister Jeff Khadebe. But I'm just saying, honourable members, as we engage with this presentation, I felt that it's important that we just put that uppermost, because we still have to be rigorous in terms of engaging with what was presented to us. I will allow members and then see how the questions go. I won't say how many we allow, but we would ask you, please, CF and Petro SA, jot down the questions. I will decide when we give you an opportunity to respond to them. I noticed the hand of Honourable Faber first.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Chairperson, yes, I've got a problem that the Minister is not here, because there are some answers that we would actually also want from the Minister. And it's not always fair asking officials questions which they will not most probably be able to answer. I would like to know, firstly, on what happened to pronounce the illegal sale of our South African strategic oil reserves void. You know, as Minister, the previous Minister, Jo-Matt Peterson, was lying to us straight, and she was telling us that it is rotation stock. Now, the type of questions that I want to ask was definitely to the Minister, to ask that if this was an illegal sale, because this is what you're trying to show, that it is illegal sale, that we can actually recover that oil for ourselves again, then will the Minister then make a criminal case against the previous Minister? Because that is fraud, blatant fraud. This is, as I say, Chairperson, unfortunately the Minister most probably will be able to say he will open the case against the ex-Minister of fraud. Then I would like to know on the fuel prices. We know it's volatile, specifically with the rand dollar, the rand getting weaker, dollar getting stronger, and the barrel price at the moment. But I know that many years ago we actually had huge amounts of stocks that was pumped into old mine shafts, etc. And it actually, the question comes up, can we not prevent these quick fuel hikes that we see every month? Instead of having those, maybe calming it a bit down by having an excess stock that can actually gradually increase prices, or taking it down instead of this 80 cents a litre every now and then. As I understand, there's another price hike at the coming. And the problem is that everything, as you know, goes up. Food goes up. And the people that suffers the most are, unfortunately, the poor people of our country. They just cannot afford it. I don't know if I can ask you what the price of petrol is, except for all the taxes like RAF and all this. If you can give that to me, I would like to know, and I'll tell you why. I know it's not in my province, but in Mpumalanga, for instance, I know that some of these mining trucks that work for the Zama Zamas, they drive steel and platinum over to the Mozambique border. They actually go and sell it there at the Mozambique, at the coast, and they refill their huge trucks there because steel costs much less there. And what I understand is that we actually export fuel. at such a low cost that people can just go across the border and actually fuel up on that side. So I'd like to know what the situation is on that. Chairperson, bear with me, it's the last two. I would like to know what happened to the Ibubezi gas project on the west coast between you and Australian Independent Energy Group Sunbird, with a 400-kilometer gas pipeline between Grotto Bay and Danafontein. How fast that? I know this has been going on for quite a long time. I see you were telling us that we're running out of gas, but from what I saw in the projections 2014, now I've been here since 2009, so I've been on energy every now and then as an alternate member. So I know that time Honorable Elsa van Lingen asked these questions, and I would like to know, from what I understood that time, that there was gas reserves on the West Coast, and you are saying we're running out of gas reserves. Now this is quite controversial, if you could perhaps help us on that. I know we're getting most of our oil from Saudi Arabia and then Angola and Nigeria. We are part of this Africa Union. Is there no way that we as an African nation can get fuel cheaper from our African country partners? I know there's a standard price, but is there no type of agreements that we can get that? And lastly, Chairperson, I would like to know, when we did a study group to Malaysia as well as to Singapore, we saw that those governments have actually introduced alternate transport measures for public, which actually brings down the cost of fuel a lot. And my question is, did you actually also, or do you think of going there to these countries to learn from them their best practices, so that we as South Africa can actually benefit from this? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. I'm tempted to say answer to all those, but let me have Honorable Makwebo as well, please.
Thank you, Chairperson. I appreciate it. Just three things, really. One, the challenging financial position faced by PetroSA. No doubt and undoubtedly, PetroSA is in dire financial position. Because if you look at the cash flow and the own financial reports, you've lost the revenue by 34% compared to 2015-2016, right? You want to assure us that you'll be able to steer the boat towards the right direction. And I am worried. Because Chairperson of the CEF, you are saying to us, the causes of these problems is probably, in your view, the changing market trends. And because you are the creature of statute, you seem to suggest to us that you are confined by statute. I want you to challenge you with that. What do you mean by that? Because my argument to you will be, the problems faced by PetroSA today are self-inflicted. And I'll demonstrate to you in less than a minute. If you look by your own concession, in your own presentation, the Ikwezi project, with due respect, the Ikwezi project was ill-conceived. And I want you to respond to that. I put it to you that the Ikwezi project was ill-conceived. In 2014, you have failed to conduct due diligence. You have failed to ensure that, you know, there was proper market research, or that proper research done before you could spend billions into this project. And today you are sitting with 9.6 billion of decommissioning liability. And here is also a frustration. Notwithstanding this 9.6 billion liability, you have paid 17.3 million bonuses to your executives that were involved in this failed project. So in my view, and again I put it to you, these problems are self-inflicted, and you have been reckless with the fiscus entrusted in your hands. So don't blame the market trends. If anybody has to be blamed, it's yourselves. You have put yourselves in this quagmire. You are reckless with the public money that was put into your hands, as I've demonstrated. Secondly, if you look at even these bonuses that were paid, you can argue all you like that they were not performance-based, they were retention. But bottom line is, you pay bonuses to people who have failed at this project. I wanted to respond to that. That's the first one. Now, let's look at your turnaround strategy. You have indicated that you will not need bailouts. And I'll put this on record slowly. You said you would work on the cash flow despite the challenges. You would pull down Petro SA out of these financial challenges. And we have a strategy in place that you have put together. Now, these problems didn't catch you by surprise. They emanate from 2014. So it's not something that came overnight. So how do you expect us to sincerely trust you that you'll pull out? 4 years down the line, these problems are haunting you. You are still sitting with liabilities at 9.6 billion, and you're telling us that we must entrust you with this Petro SA. So I am not convinced as I'm sitting here. So maybe one would argue, as I conclude, Chair, maybe, the board is incapable. The board is incompetent. Maybe the board should just resign and should recruit a new board. I put it to you, and I want your response. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Can I ask the other members to bear with us? Let's deal with this, and we come to the... because we're doing well in terms of time for now. Please, Chair, can we... And it's in your hands to delegate to the other colleagues and officials and board members as well.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I think that the first question around the issue of stock rotation versus stock disposal, I think the matter is we had filed our court papers. We have made clear what our position is. We have even made it fairly clear that as the law stands, that it was a disposal because of want of approval, simple as that. Lastly, because rotation, when you rotate, you take out the stock, you buy another one, and we did not do that. So that is well explained, Chair, in our court papers. Second to that, on the issue of criminal case, I'm not answering on behalf of the minister, but the process is ongoing with the law enforcement agencies. You can understand in terms of POCA and all the related legislation. So that process, we are fully collaborating on. It's taking its own course. Chair, I wouldn't venture into the petrol price discussion purely because it's in another arm of the department. It's not within us, and I wouldn't want to air a personal view on that. On the Ifumbesi and West Coast, we are looking at a number of farmers, not only in the West Coast, but also in the Mossel Bay, South Cape area. But it's a process that takes its own time. So I might not have the specifics on Ifumbesi per se, but I know that there's a number of farm outs that we are looking at. We are looking for investors to come in and help us to explore in the blocks that the state has got an interest in. Chair, on trading with African countries, I think our minister has made that point that he will be making some of these visits to African countries, primarily, largely around the concerns that even you, Chair, actually raised around the role of SADC, how are we leveraging around SADC, and what becomes the position of South Africa. And I think, Chair, properly executed, it might leverage some of the challenges that we are having. I think I will leave at that for now. Chair, there's a point that you raised about shale gas.
And I would love in another opportunity that we have a proper debate on that. And because, Chair, it's a possibility that is there. And it might change how we view things. It might have environmental concerns, but we might have to say, is it all or nothing? But that's a debate for another day, Chair. Unless there's a point that I've missed on the question from the Honourable Member, I would check with my team. We appreciate the point on the best practice. We'll definitely look at that model. I'm sure we've looked at, but in the context that you've raised, it will definitely have to look at it, because it's always good to look at other countries and who have mastered what you've done, especially in small economies, because it's always a good case study, and that's why I really appreciate the point. Chair, coming to to Honourable Member Magwebu's questions and comments, I think we are on record. When we came in last year, Chair, in January, February 2017, as this board, the issues that he's referring to were 5 years before this board came in. So the interventions we are talking about, we have mitigated what has happened. But let's leave that. But let's deal with the issue as of today. As of today, Chair, I agree with him. There are things that on equation would have been done differently. If you look at the reports, if you look at the engineering reports, the exploration mechanism, the reports themselves are clear. We did not. I'm saying we because we take responsibility as a successor entitled. We could have done it differently. I don't think, Chair, we could have used our cash reserves to explore. I think we could have looked for a partner to help us to explore. The other issue, Chair, might have been, and I'm saying this with benefit of hindsight because I'm commenting 5 years later. The other issue, Chair, was that it appears that there was no evaluation done on the wells that we're exploring on. So we're exploring to feed the plant. So it was trying to find blood to keep the body going, if I may use that analogy. So there was no time to appraise and say, are we striking what we need to strike? Are we finding what we need to find? So because we're in ICU, whatever little oxygen we were finding, we were hoping that is going to help us. So that's why I agree with the assertion made by Member Makwebu that we could have done it differently on a number of fronts. And I'm saying this with hindsight because I had the opportunity to sit after the fact and look at the report. Lastly, the issue of statute. I'm not saying statute in itself is an impediment. Our position at the moment does not enable us to capture market. I'll make an example. The oil price shot to $76. There's nothing much we can do. All we do is become spectators. We can't trade, we can't do much. Two, the opportunities in the oil and gas space are not patient as in construction, if I may use that analogy. If you get someone who wants to partner with you to explore a block in 30 days, even if I like, in 30 days I won't be able to conclude a partnership agreement within our framework. That is the point I was making. The other point I was making and why we are reviewing our operations model is that some of the issues that are cumbersome are because of how we were created as a creature of statute. That is why we need to review how we operate. Hence, I was speaking of efficiency. For example, if you need to get Petro SA to cooperate with your sister company. You must get an MOU between Petro SA and iGas to cooperate on a gas infrastructure project. I'm making an example with that. That necessarily you don't need that in a group. But because of how we're structured, it becomes cumbersome. That is why we're saying the issue of then reviewing your operating model becomes important. The issue of dire financial constraints, I fully agree with that sentiment. And in agreeing with it, that is why our consistent message is that look at your cash position. Because if you don't, you're going to have serious problems. And one of your problems, and we've avoided it, we have not been in a position where we've been told that you can't pay salaries at the end of the month. We've not had that. We are not happy where we are, but we do think that the boat is still sailing. That is why I like the tenets by our minister, that at least for now, pull out Petro SA out of ICU. It's not going to be a miracle. We're not going to have a magic wand over it. But there's two things we need to sort out. We need to sort out the production problems at Petro SA, and we think we're doing that. We need to sort out the capacity of the refinery in terms of production. And that's what we need to do. We need to look at our efficiencies. Are we spending our money we were supposed to spend? Those are the things we are engaged with. So I wouldn't say that we are incapable of saving Petro SA. That one, I think we can have a debate on it. I think actually, if you look at the losses and if you look at the quarter reports, I think there's a story to be told. We are not where we want to be. By a long shot, we're not there. If you take where we were and where we are today, I'm sure there's a different story to tell. Chair, on the turnaround strategy, Chair, and I'll take the comment you made. It's quite difficult even for us to engage. It would be better if we're engaging on the detail. And probably when our shareholder is back, you will then have a full appreciation of what is it that when we say that we'll be able to pull the Petro SA out of ICU, what is it that we mean? The context raised by the Honourable Member around Ipobesi will be able to explain what is a farm out, what do we mean? Because from lessons learned, we can't continue using the fiscal to explore because we've lost 14 billion. So we can't go back again and say on our own, we're going to go and borrow to do the same mistake. So on those issues, Chair, I do think that we have dealt with them in the most prudent way, and I'm confident that in the short term we'll be able to mitigate the losses. So I would accept all the criticism if I was there 5 years ago, but in 12 months I think we've done a good job. Thanks, Chair.
The Chief did not ask for additions.
Yes, Chair, if there are any, I would give.
It looks like you have covered it well from your team, not from our side. I'm not speaking on behalf of the members. Can I use this time, Chair of the CEF Board, to ask a leading question and then pose my question? When are you having your next meeting of the board?
Chair, I'll look at the company secretary for that. But I know we need to have one pretty soon.
Chairperson, I think the next scheduled board meeting would be in July, but we do have a special meeting that's scheduled in the next 2 weeks. Obviously, depending on availability of the members. Because there are some pertinent matters that the board is still seized with arising out of the last meeting.
Thank you very much. Let me get to my question. As members of parliament, we have a constitutional responsibility to do oversight. Now, it complicates our responsibility if we don't have time frames. You have, on behalf of the board, share the whole
number of interventions that you are looking at. Without having to put you on the spot now, I think the members will agree with me that we request you to put those interventions on paper for us, but also indicate very clearly, secondly, what is the time frames you're setting for yourself, and then thirdly also, what is the anticipated results that you're hoping to achieve with those interventions. Now, the reason why I asked the question of when you have your next board meeting, because we think that in terms of cooperative governments, it's going to be important for you to present that to the board and then present it to us. You don't have to present it to your shareholder first before you bring it to us, because we are, in fact, also an element of that shareholding. And the information that you are sharing with us is operational, and therefore it doesn't have to first get the approval of the shareholder. While the Deputy Director General is here, I'm sure that he would also be interested to maybe peruse the document without necessarily changing it. He knows what our expectations are in government, and he will just make sure that he assists you to ensure that that document confines to our, or rather conforms to our expectations. Members, would there be anybody that has a problem that we do that? Because then once we've received that, so we're saying to you, you say you'll meet within 2 weeks, we would urge you to indeed have that meeting in 2 weeks, because you are in ICU. When you are in ICU, every minute counts, and it's important that the board has that meeting within the 2 weeks, and then we would say, can the board then give us that report by the 15th of July? Okay, so we're giving you 1 month. The Honourable Matevula, can I ask you to just pronounce your name properly, tell us which province you're from, and then raise your question, please.
Thank you very much, Chair. My name is Brenda Matevula. I'm from Limpopo province. I wanted to ask about the time frame, because he's saying when he's busy presenting, they were saying it's with the shareholder. So I couldn't understand when he said it's with the shareholder, and they are in a problem, they are in an ICU, and they don't have time frame. So I was a little bit confused there. I think you have a clear it, Chairperson, and I think I'm covered.
Thank you very much. The Honourable...
thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson. How can you forget me, Chairperson? thank you very much. Let me thank the presenter for the presentation. Even if, for me, I did not get, I don't know how to put it, but it's like a shallow presentation. It's not giving us the deepest meaning or a strategy or challenges. You know, to me, it's just like we are just frying eggs in a pan, not boiling them. Why do I say this, Chairperson? We all hear that Petro South Africa is in a difficult financial situation, but then we don't get a detailed insight on how they are planning to correct this. The Honourable Members touched on many issues that I wanted to raise, Honourable Faber and Honourable Magwebo. I won't repeat that. But I would say I have heard that the Minister is looking out on how to get an assistance in our African countries. But Chairperson, I'm going to request that at least we integrate our problem, our oil and gas problem, with that country of Malaysia. Remember, we went to Malaysia, and we have heard how they run their, let me say, their personnel. So maybe our government must just go to Malaysia and go and check with them as to how they run their things. But I want to repeat Chairperson and say, when he was presenting the challenges, to me it looks like there is a serious problem of management. Their management is very poor. I don't know if ever they have a plan of changing the way they run their things. I don't want to go and touch into what you try to outline and what the Honorable Masibula is. But my problem is, can they really put their focus on their management?
Thank you, Honorable Khan. Tata, do you want to add anything?
No.
Well, let me then also just add to the questions. The one is, you are making it difficult for us to do our work. When you, on your review of your strategy and why you're doing it now, make reference to the cost centers, and we don't have the figures in front of us. If you, for example, are saying that you are going to survive without necessarily seeking a loan for the sustainability, and we don't have those financial reports audited in front of us, it makes it difficult. So I would then want to say, can you please, because your audit would have been done for the year 2017-18, can you please share those financials with us so that we can look at those cost centers? As a select committee, we have been to PetroSA in Mosole. That was, as Honorable Mokwebo said, although he was not part of that team that visited Mosole about 4 years ago. The type of things that you're sharing with us as a board now are almost similar to what we heard in Mosobe. And you are speaking to us as CEF. Is there anybody here from PetroSA? Why are they not here? You can answer that as part of the questions. Then you also, because you've not numbered the slides on the new strategy, you are talking about the social impact. Now, as members of parliament, we are very concerned because we are serving people. And not just looking at profit margins. So can you tell us a little bit more on what your plans are for the social impact that you're referring to in that slide? You are saying to us that you are looking at saving the boat, which is an initiative that we welcome. The Honorable Faber has early on raised the question about your exploration offshore. Now, you may need to give us a little bit more information. You can give it to us just as examples now. But we need to know, where are you thinking of exploring? We are in a position where some of us are saying, what's the sense of having this entity? And you need to convince us that indeed you will contribute towards the economy and towards growth in our country. And as the Honorable Dikhale has indicated, we may need a little bit more information from you in order to get that, so you'll address that. You say, let me explain to you, Chairperson and Board members, what happens. At this time of year, we're receiving the annual performance plans of departments of government. And in those annual performance plans, they tell us what they're planning
how they're going to do it and how much money they're going to need so that we can make the appropriate appropriation there too. Now, that is what informs many of the questions and criticism and critique that we're raising on what you are presenting to us. We appreciate how some of the work that you are doing are overlapping with Operation Pakisa, that may be within the Department of Minerals, and if you talk about electronic vehicles, we may have different positions. I have seen the paper that comes from the Department of Science and Technology. We're also discussing that in the Department of Trade and Industry. We would just want to urge that when you look at these disruptions that the fourth industrial revolution is causing to us, you don't come to us and make a presentation and say this is what we'd want to do unless you have, as a board, had the conversation with the other departments of government as well. We have 9 departments of government reporting to the select committee. And one of them is the Department of Trade and Industry, and the other is also the Department of Economic Development. So when you make these presentations to us, we would be able to assist in terms of facilitating the dialogue and discourse with other departments, but we would want to say that it's important that you talk to them before you bring the options to us. Let me just conclude and say that when you, on your penultimate slide, make reference to the facilitation to transition of natural gas, it links with an earlier question that I've raised about exploration. You are not convincing us yet that indeed the prospects of uncovering, discovering gas, natural gas, is there. Have you done that work already? Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chair. I think, Chair, let me probably first welcome the guidance given on how we must prepare for the committee, because with that guidance, we would have probably prepared slightly differently. The reason why we did not invite subsidiaries, because it was focused on their governance challenges or what SEF is doing with them. So we did not understand it to mean that, so normally there would be an indication of who is required in the meeting. So in this context, it was referred to as SEF, and we interpreted it in a literal sense. Chair, the 4 issues you've raised are actually issues which I can try and respond to them in 5 minutes. But I think Chair appreciates, and I'm glad that you've mentioned the other 9 departments, that there are matters of debate as we speak amongst ourselves. But suffice to say, Chair, that when you speak of one of the things that we've been raising as the SEF board is to say energy needs to have what I call a human element into it. What I mean is it needs to touch the life of a person in Sanda, where I come from. That is why you begin to see our minister doing the appliance launches, speaking about the solar water geyser program, which now SEF is involved in trying to help the department to roll it out. So it might sound more of a philosophical statement, but energy needs to have a human face as well. You know, it's nice to speak about oil and gas exploration, but the human element of it just needs to be ramped up. And it might mean that through education, training, the YES program, which is launched by the president, Solar Water Giza program, and other initiatives, those are the things that we need to do more, because they create an impact in society. That's one. Two, Chair. Do we need Petro-SA? My answer would be yes. For two things, Chair. It sits in a... in a closer, and we can debate about the location of the refinery and all of those other things. I wouldn't want to get to that. But the amount of investment that the state has put into that entity, the role that it plays in the Southern Cape at the moment, the role that it can play in the continent with the technology and the skill set that it has, I don't think it can be measured. Secondly, Chair, I do believe that there's still a market for the gas-to-liquids processes, but it's a question of dealing with what we call our efficiency. So I wouldn't want to get into a prolonged debate around that. Chair, the transition to gas is an important debate, and I'm very happy that our minister is very consistent on it, because for you to attract investment, for us, even as a state-owned company, for us to spend on exploration, for us to fund exploration, for us to find partners to explore, we need certainty. And that is what is now beginning to come. That's why we can respond to the question from Member Faber, if I got the name correctly, to say that we are beginning to look at our farm-out strategies. How do we now get partners? Because it's one thing to find a partner to explore and then you don't have an off-take. It won't make sense. That is where this policy certainty becomes important. That is why we are equally waiting, and I'm looking at my DG, for the IRP to come out so that we begin to say, what is it that is in the market to play? So the transition is there, Chair, but policy certainty will go a long way in helping us to make appropriate investment decisions. Thanks, Chair. And by the way, Chair, I would take you on the favor to help us to facilitate in the discourse that we're taking. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, are we happy to conclude that part of our meeting? Honourable... Sure, Honourable.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mr. Demakasi, Chairperson of the CEF. Just on the issue I have raised earlier, and I want to take up on your response as a follow-up, these impediments on the, I see you're changing now, you're saying, okay, it's not per se the statutory impediments, but it could be how you structured, and you hold the view that you must change operations. And I want to pick up on the examples you have made. For instance, you say the difficulty, you find it difficult that you can conclude an MOU with the partner within 30 days because of the nature of how you structured. And you also suggest that, make another example, that for instance, you also struggle, you know, with getting in your view, it's not necessary to have an MOU, to partner up with other partners in your endeavors to do what you're called to do. So these are the issues that, whatever name you choose to use, whether it's impediment or challenges or obstacle, to me that's neither here nor there, but these are the issues that are standing in your way. Call it what you like, but here is my question. Now that you have identified these issues as been issues standing in your way, what are you doing about them? Because you have asked us as a parliament to give you a support. Now, we have to call a spade a spade. If you say these issues must be reviewed, if it's legislation, we are the lawmakers, remember? So if there are processes, where are the bottlenecks, help. If we have to help you, sound possible solutions so that you can apply our minds. Don't just give us problem statements. Let's ponder solutions here. Now, we have identified those issues of difficulties of MOUs within 30 days. You might have a partner now to explore, but you won't wait for you because in your space, you can't conclude that within 30 days. Why not? And if there's a problem, what is that problem? What do you think must be done so that we can see how we can support you to do that? Just in all those examples you have made. Now, what are you doing about that? Thank you, Chair.
Can I just check? You making the statement. You don't necessarily want him to give the answers.
No, I want him to respond. I want him to respond.
Okay.
Thanks, Chair. Okay, let's make one practical example. One of the key areas that we would need certainty on is around the empathy. Who would want the oil and gas sector to be separately regulated from the mining sector? In the current environment, they seem to be clumped together. And part of the challenges that you then face is that as long as we are clumped together, the challenges that we face, for example, like Federation is facing, I'm now not speaking on behalf of the industry, I'm just focusing on the key question. The MBRTA process, as our minister has committed, we really need it to be expedited. Because once we get certainty, one, on the status of the free carry, that would owe a great deal in helping, probably answering the question of what will be left of Petro SA. Because once the certainty that there will be a free carry, who would lobby for Petro SA or SEF, depending on the modality, to be that state carrier. So that separation in the MWA would become important, that's one. Two, on the decision-making process, it's a debate that we need to have in the context of the broader procurement review process. Because if you look at what we do, the question that you're asking, Jen, around exploration, you need to advertise for 21 days, you need to do bid evaluation, you need to close, you need to have a bid adjudication, you need to hope that you are not taken on review, you need to hope that there is no court action. So that is the position. If you follow Mr. Faber's question and say, what are you doing with Ibubesi, a typical example, you won't be, even if Ibubesi gives you the best solution that will immediately plug into the problem that you have in Petro-SA, you won't be able to do it unless you go through the normal regulatory process. Deviations are there, but do you really want to deviate? Once you deviate, now there seems to be a particular perception. Now, that's why I really don't want to get into the debate of procurement and all of that. That's why I was saying, for me, the most important thing is we really need to look at to say, if we're a state-owned company, and maybe we can go back to the Malaysian example and check, what are the powers and how are they being regulated in those countries, and see if we can have that replicated in the country. Because at the moment, we get treated the same as everyone else, and we're in a separate, I would assume, in a separate environment. So that's how I would want to leave that response. The last part, Chair, is our responsibility is we've got a shareholder, which is the department. So on policy and legislative issues, from time to time, we need to engage through the department. And I wouldn't want to venture much into policy because that's slightly above my pay grade.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, it just dawns on me that we have 31 entities to the departments and the Economic and Business Development, government departments that report to us. It's not going to be probable that we'll have CEF here very soon again. And we can't operate like that. We would have to explore, sorry for the pun, mechanisms through which we would also be able to engage
more regularly with the entities, particularly with this entity because of the work that it's doing in energy. Can I just put that to you now and say that at any time when this committee meets again, you are free to make some proposals in terms of what you consider to be an appropriate approach that we could adopt as the select committee for our more consistent and contiguous engagement with the entities of the various departments that's reporting to us. With that said, I want to say to you, Chairperson and members of the board, to our acting DG and to your team, thank you very much for being with us. I can let the cat out of the bag that we are going to meet with the Department of Energy again before the end of this year. And one of the things that we would want to take up with them is a large portion of the questions raised by members that actually falls within the ambit of the Department of Energy, so that we can also engage them on that. Thank you very much for the effort that you put into the preparations. We want you to leave here knowing that we are profoundly concerned about what has been happening in PetroSA and the role of CDF, and you have our support when you are engaging in corrective measures in that regard. Thank you very much. Can I ask you to bear with us so that you don't disrupt the proceedings? We're going to be very quick in terms of dealing with the other two items. Honourable members, we have the minutes of our last meeting. It has been distributed to you before, having had the opportunity to chair that meeting. I've looked at the minutes, and it was very well prepared. I received the minutes sometime last week already. Can I request a proposal for the acceptance of that minutes? Honourable Tetwa, who seconds that? The Honourable Dikhale. Thank you very much. There's two matters under announcements. The one is that we would want to circulate to you the third term program, which is from the 2nd of July. To the end of September, to the 21st of September. Do we have to adopt?
Yeah.
Honourable members, you would be aware that what's happening now is with the challenges that we're having with program planning. Very often the House Chair will change. The program has been submitted to the House Chair, and we're distributing it to you now, subject to also the approval by the House Chair. So I'm not asking you to necessarily adopt it until it has been approved by the House Chair. Then the last matter that we have is announcements from our committee secretary. You have the floor, please, Chris.
With regard to the meeting of the 12th next week on Tuesday, the chairperson received the chairperson received request from the entity requesting him to extend the date for the submission. So we gave them until the 14th. Thursday, the closing date. And I've forwarded five submissions to members and the staff so that they can look through them. But as soon as we receive the submissions, I will forward the rest of the submissions to be forwarded to the members. And the
DMG doesn't know what submissions you're talking about.
The submissions for labor laws amendment bill. And the committee assistant will submit all the submissions in a file to all members in order to prepare for next week. And we also requested more time from the House Chair to meet on Thursday. We are waiting for the approval for that.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, Tuesday next week is fine, that's information. However, Thursday next week is extraordinary. Can I just get an indication from members? Because it wouldn't make sense for us to have a sitting of the committee and then members are not available. Can I check whether there's any members that would have difficulties with us also meeting next week Thursday at 10 o'clock.
Chairperson, I think it will be better if they check with the House Chairperson for committees, because our program changes. If ever we're not going to have plenary by that time, I don't think it will be difficult for us to come and attend. But if we have plenary in the morning, then it will be a fruitless expenditure.
Well, not for business. I think Grace did say that she communicated with the House Chair.
It is according to the House Chair, there will be no plenary on Thursday, and there will be no plenary in the morning and tomorrow
afternoon. Oh, in the afternoon as well?
In the morning.
No, I thought we're meeting next week Thursday afternoon.
No, we are meeting in the morning.
No, as the house, as the NCOP house.
No, on Thursday in the morning, there is nothing on the program.
Honorable Khaled, please help us.
They even communicate with you.
Okay, if it is like that, then it happens. We need to check with our members. Because normally, if we don't have anything to do on Thursday and Friday, they leave Wednesday afternoon.
It becomes now even more important that we look at this. Thursday the 21st of June, that's next week.
Well, that's
right.
Here.
That's 21st of June. No, today is the 12th. You're still in Geneva, Calendar. In terms of the draft program that I have here, we are scheduled to meet next week Thursday at 10. So what we're saying is that Now we'll have to negotiate. If we meet next week Thursday at 10 in the House, would members be available for us to then continue with the public hearings on the amendments next week Thursday afternoon from 2 o'clock, say from 1 o'clock? Then we can finish at 3.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'll leave this in your capable hands, but let me bring you to your attention that next week, Thursday, some of us in this committee are also serving in the Constitutional Review Committee, and we are starting public hearing on the Section 25 amendment. So it's going to be very chaotic. I should bring that because I know Mtlanga is sitting in that committee, I sit in that committee, and we're also part of this committee as well. So next week, we are traveling to the provinces.
No, that's very helpful. Can we hear who else from this committee? You mentioned two people. You and?
I know Mtlanga is part of this committee.
And Mtlanga.
Yeah. I'm not sure Mtlanga is sitting in the committee as well.
Yeah, in Cyprus as well. So we've got three members, but we will not be part of you next week. We'll be all over the place, all over the province. Till September, end of the
Till end of September, we will be excused.
Okay. Thank you very much. Honourable members, we will consider all those stack-up links, and we will revert to you in time about meeting next week, Thursday. It looks like it's going to be very complicated. We may have to then just do whatever we can Tuesday. So let me now throw in another one. How about us starting our meeting at 9 o'clock next week, Tuesday? The buses and also the people that are making presentations.
Yes,
okay. So we agree. Next week, Tuesday, the select committee will meet at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
That said, we are dispersed. We are meeting tomorrow to engage as members of this committee with the South African Bureau of Standards. Honourable Faber, you have the last word, then we close.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just on the third-term committee program, I saw the first line, which was quite disturbing to me, but I think it's just a mistake there, because it says provincial briefing on National Transport Land Amendment Bill. Now, I know of no land amendment bill, except if you're pushing something that I don't know, except if it is a national transportation land amendment bill, because it cannot be a land amendment bill. It is a transport land transport amendment bill, as I have. Just that they just do the typing error, I think, just get that right.
Okay. But we know what it is.
Yes.
Okay.
Because turning it around makes it a total different thing. That is changing it to land amendment law, and that's a transport amendment law.
Okay. Look, honourable members, by next week, Tuesday, we would have had feedback from the House Chairperson on this draft program. Honourable members, we are adjourned. Thank you very much.